Welcome to the Stay Informed podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Gonzalez. Today we have a very special guest, Andres Klarich, the FUSE CEO, to discuss our new partnership. I am super excited to be talking to you today, Andres. I did some LinkedIn stalking, as I usually do with some of our outside hosts, and I've heard such great things about you from our team as well as from Max. So I'm so glad you were able to join us today.
No, super excited to be here, Jessica. I appreciate the invitation and excited to also the partnership with Inform IQ.
Yeah. So Andres, like I said, I was stalking you actively on LinkedIn, but probably our podcast, new listeners have not. So can you give us a little bit of information about your background?
Yeah, I was born in the U.S., raised my entire life in Bolivia. I spent pretty much 10 years in Wall Street before taking the plunge to start FUSE. And I started FUSE alongside a classmate of mine that I met at Harvard 8 years ago now. And it's been an amazing journey. We set ourselves first to solve the problems with like the process of finding a loan. And we quickly realized that that same problem was being faced by a bunch of lenders. And we quickly kind of transitioned from a direct-to-consumer to B2B. And here we are almost 4 years later.
Great. So I read some of your LinkedIn posts. They were very interesting. And I saw that you were a top financial influencer on LinkedIn, which is a congratulations. I've never actually seen that title. Can you give me a little bit of background? I think it was super impressive, like your history of what motivated you professionally to start FUSE.
For me, I am the son of immigrants. So starting something in the financial space came natural. Why is that? I mean, I remember when my dad was, when I was in Bolivia and my dad was here, like we would go to the bank, pick up the money, and I got associated banks with kind of love, right? They were helping us there, and we were getting a service in return. And I thought, hey, like if we can make the process more simple of lending in this case, this helps others, right? Like it helped me go to college, getting a lower cost of student loans. It helps start a business. It helps provide the working capital that a family needs. It parents that need to like pay for their kids' day-to-day expenses. So just you when you add everything that comes into it, I felt, hey, it is a very compelling idea to make financial institutions more efficient, and you make them more efficient by virtue of like adding a better tech stack. And if they have a better tech stack, they save money, and if they have more money on their hands, they can lend more, and everyone knows the flywheel of credit in the economy.
Yeah, that's great. I always think it's very interesting to hear other countries and their financial services and how they kind of think of banking. Really, you know, my background is I'm Mexican American. So I think of a lot of times growing up thinking about, you know, banking in Mexico is very different. A lot of people feel there needs to be more transparency and understanding kind of where it's banking. So it's great to hear your perspective of really feeling that in Bolivia, the banking industry is really a helpful community advocate and kind of, you know, your expectations in the background there. You mentioned a couple of pain points and you really led on efficiency. What other pain points did you identify within the market that FUSE serves?
Yeah, we saw that there was a prior generation of startups that like effectively have taken them to one level of automation, but most lenders kind of found themselves trapped in that 20 to 30% automation trap. And in essence, it felt then, and it was also latent to us, and once we kind of became more acquainted with this space, that automation was not a continuous process, but just a point in time, right? You just get to one level of automation, and that's a static level of automation. So we thought to ourselves, hey, we should be able to, first and foremost, allow lenders to gauge the level of automation that they want, but also reach higher levels than the ones they have today, right? So how do you do that? First and foremost is like integration capability. So that's why this integration for my IQ is so important, right? Like back in the day, each integration will be like a specific project that will be run, and kind of like the concept of an API or kind of like the piping of the system will have to be redone every time as if it was like a custom thing. So helping that kind of like setting that roster of integrations was very important. That allows lenders to experiment, to try new things, and never have the excuse of, oh wow, that's going to be a very hefty implementation because we've never done it, right? Like once you have that done, it's a kind of set it and forget it. Second is democratizing the access to the technology via local no-code tools. We love our engineers, but sometimes like, the engineers get overwhelmed by requests from management. So what we gave is tools of self-serve for the non-technical team so they can do stuff that today is just reserved for the engineers, and the engineers can do much more strategic work, right? And last but not least is dashboards, right? Despite the fact that we want to automate as much as possible, reality is this is a regulated industry, and most of our partners want to have some control or like some level of a human interaction with the borrower, right? So giving dashboards that really reflect the day-to-day operations of that person is very important to us.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think they, you know, like you said, this partnership and integration makes a lot of sense because, you know, really we're the median of really, if you're having that human interaction, the LOS makes a lot of sense to be integrated fully with so that it's a seamless transaction as well as improving the technology stack. I think from the perspective of self-service tools, that's a lot of expectation that you want from LOS. I think a lot of LOS, especially the, you know, technology that is, you know, dated or maybe historically has been leveraged by banking industries from, you know, 10 or 15 years, gets a little bit of a bad rep. From your perspective, how do you kind of differentiate the LOS of, you know, the olden days and the LOS of Fuse?
Yeah, I mean, we're very grateful for our competition, right? Like they price the market, they set the tone and everything. It's not their fault that we are where we are today. If anything, thanks to them, we created a market category and things like that. What they don't, the problem with most of our competition is that they're built on a foundation that it's of old tech, right? And that it's very hard to separate yourself and just kind of run a full change, right? Also, most of them are actually owned by private equity funds. I'm a former private equity investor, right? Like, so definitionally they are in a harvest mode, right? Like they're not planting seeds anymore. It's they have financial responsibilities when it comes to the debt and everything that they raised as in order to kind of like go into this new stage that they are as organizations. So that opens an opportunity for us. We start with a clean slate of software. So we're not married to the old ways. And that enables us to kind of also listen to the customers, right? Like for them, they have large pools of customers. So they sometimes need to listen to like to certain pools of customers and not all their pools of customers. So that when you're that big, that translates into like, you're gonna push out some folks. So we're listening to in kind of little by little targeting them, but at the same time, I don't wanna badmouth them, right? It's more, they're at a different stage and we bring in a fresh perspective, a startup type of mindset and an owner mindset, right? Like we control these businesses versus like management. And in most of these companies today is not really like the founders anymore.
Yeah. I love that perspective. And I'm very much an advocate of that change is really hard, but that change is necessary. But, you know, there's also the hiccups of trying to make those changes and changing from technology stacks, especially from larger organizations, is historically very difficult. I think, you know, to play the devil's advocate a little bit on this, what do you think that stops you from being in that harvest mode in 5 or 7 years, right? Like if you do make this big change to an LOS, like what kind of makes you that differentiator that you're going to continue to be progressive? Because like I said, I think AI, generative AI, all the good stuff. I mean, it's changing so quickly, right? Where do you see yourself there?
We learn from other people's mistakes, right? We have the benefit of having the hindsight. Some of the folks that we're replacing there were like trailblazers, right? At some point 20 years ago. So they kind of created the category. So that if we make the same mistakes, it's on us, right? Like not learning from other people's mistakes is really will be terrible on our end. And fintech as a category was far smaller before, so the size of the market is much bigger. The amount of dilution that you need to grow is significantly lower. So there's plenty of like tailwinds for us to not necessarily have the same outcomes that they have in terms of like having to sell too soon or things like that. And software has changed a lot, right? The cost of producing software has gone down. What does that mean, right? Like back in the day, there was no, the cloud, all of these things that have changed enable you to actually run much more lean for far longer without necessarily having to compromise the DNA of the company.
And that's great insights. So with all of that kind of differentiation and you feel like you're learning from the industry, is there a specific niche or market that you're trying to fill with Infuse?
For us, consumer lending is a great opportunity. Like the way that we see it is there's kind of multiple segments in this space, but I would say the non-mortgage consumer category is fairly interesting. It's really poised for change, ripe for change and disruption, because speed has become of the essence, right? Like the same way that you expect your Uber or your Lyft or your DoorDash to be within minutes or seconds, people have that same level of desire for their financial products, right? Like the way they apply for a personal loan or credit card and auto loan needs to resemble that. And all the tools are in place for that to happen, right? Back up until like 4 or 5 years ago, it used to be something that only like the fintechs could achieve, but I think like some of the largest financial players have been able to catch up with that. So they're squeezing the folks in the middle, right? Like the folks in the middle are not as lean as a fintech, but they're also bigger, right? And they there's an opportunity for them to actually acquire software that enables them to move much faster and kind of resemble what the best in class have.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to something I heard you say, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more questions about it. You said that customers have the expectation of kind of going in and automating, and then they reach a level and they don't really know what to do. And I see that quite often because so I don't think I understand my role. So I'm VP of Customer Success and I run account management with that. So I'm kind of with the partnership from the very beginning of the sales cycle all the way to hopefully not the end of our relationship, but kind of that continued journey. And so we really see them kind of getting that quick ROI. You get to this automation level, and then they kind of feel like, okay, how do they do that? And I think that's really what sets Informed apart, right? Is that we really have the subject matter experts that, most lenders are doing their BAU process, and there's really a lot of value of being able to have subject matter experts of saying, hey, these are the opportunities that we really see within this automation life cycle of how we can get you maybe 5-10%. Because ultimately, when you get those higher levels of automation, I think it's much harder to kind of tweak and get you that like additional lift of 5-10%. But that lift is really what it has the ability to, really decrease your OpEx, really decrease kind of the cost that you spend on headcount and those capacity models. So from that perspective, what makes you think that, having that level of automation and then some of that self-service brings in that value for Fuse?
That's a great question. The self-serve component enables you to grow faster, enables you to like reduce your implementation times by a ton, right? As much as 90%, I would say. Up until now, and this is again like how technology has evolved to help Fuse kind of be able to do this, right? Most of the incumbents in this space are really consulting shops, right? Like if you look at their revenue and some of them are public companies, 30-40% of the top line is consulting services. So when you look at that, you mean you can effectively out of the gates kind of disrupt it, right? Because you say, okay, all this implementation, all this planning and things that need to be done because the software is not flexible translates into them having to charge all these premiums over what the software is actually worth, right? So when you give them self-serve tools, that enables the customer to really like do and kind of own what the platform ends up being, right? But it's the self-serve needs to be low code, no code, because self-serve can be misnomer too, right? Like it's very important to kind of realize you can self-serve, but it's actually very intuitive, right? For me, speaking with one of our clients, and he was telling me that for him, the most dangerous thing an implementation team would tell him is that they have a good library of training. And what that means to him, what that meant to him was that a big library of training means that essentially your product is not intuitive. And I kind of I share partly a view, right? Like the product needs to be intuitive. Of course, you need to provide the tools for folks to be trained, but I agree with him on the fact that like that means that like okay, you're on your own to figure it out. Then that's by no means what we mean by self-serve.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that because I'm pretty proud of our training material. Just because, being from fintech organizations and then coming from, I have a really strong banking like background, and you get into guidelines and procedures. And from the perspective is that, I have to train like, hundreds of people at one time. So if I have to build training material, it's very difficult. So maybe a slightly different perspective than him, but I definitely understand that you want it to be very intuitive, but maybe I'll tweak my sales pitch a little bit from that perspective, because I am always like, we have training and it's great, but just because I've lived that, and I definitely don't want to be recreating training material, but good call out. From the perspective of, like I said, you have such a great opportunity and growth. And to me, it makes a whole lot of sense, our partnership of having an integrated technology stack within Fuse. But can you give me a little bit personal background of like what prompted the partnership conversations? Why did you reach out to Informed? And how do you see this joint solution bringing value to the market that we're serving?
Yeah, I think that I became acquainted with Informed like a few years ago. At that point, I was actually on the consumer side. So I looked at Inform as a potential tool for us to use. At that point, we were early on in our journey. So we were just like looking at a set of stacks, but I kind of like took note of like, oh, this is a very interesting thing. If we ever need this type of solution, we'll definitely be part of like our final set of folks that we work with. And then when we became B2B, a lot of the lenders we were working with, either we're exploring working with Inform or they were already working with you guys. So it was just gravitational pull, right? Eventually, like all roads took us to Inform, and that's how we kind of planned this integration, right? We're super excited. Most importantly, the key thing is that our lenders are excited, right? Like for us, we want to like really enable them to have the broadest set of selection of market participants out there, and let the best ones kind of be chosen by them. And we're very excited of all the market pool that we felt for your product.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Like in my day-to-day job of account management, we really pride ourselves in that client engagement and being able to be, a phone call away. I know that, we always say we don't want to be like where you're buying a product and then you use it and then you just forget about it. And then you're like, hey, and because it's that continuous, endless, automation. So definitely excited for the partnership, especially with such a technology driven, LOS. I think that's really important. Before we end, I thought I saw another one of your posts about the differentiation from LMS and LOS. And I think, when I started here, I was one of the first ones that had a lot of auto background. And so having the distinguishment of what an LMS is and LOS is very different and kind of the different values. And we kind of play in a little bit of both of those spaces. But can you kind of give a description of what Fuse does end to end and how you see Inform integrated in that stack to be able to add that value?
Yeah, you correct me if I'm wrong, right? Like we're just the LOS part. We do not do the LOS, the LMS. So for us, it's like we take the application, we kind of go through the process of kind of vetting, making sure that we give that person a fair shot at like getting a yes or a well-reasoned no. And that once that application is approved, the whole process of collecting stipulations up until the point that like that application has been reviewed and cleared for funding. And that's kind of where we end, right? Like then we onboard that into the LMS and the whole servicing journey and kind of like tracking of that loan's health happens afterwards. So we've seen folks work with you at that funding level, but like, I imagine you have like distinct levels of connectivity on when some of the other lenders use Inform IQ.
Yes, definitely. So we are integrated in dealer portals. We're integrated in underwriting/credit, as well as in the funding experience. But from the very beginning, right after credit approval decision, really Informed kind of takes over so that we do the classification, the verifications, the fraud components of the checks, and then kind of what we like to say, the stare and compare. We were able to automate all of that functionality and do those full verifications. And then ultimately, our mission is to onboard the loan as seamless as possible.
Exactly. That's what I understand that too.
Great. It sounds like we're on a great start to the partnership. Well, Andres, I really appreciate your time today. And I hope our listeners did as well. Until next time, stay informed. And this is Jessica Gonzalez.
Thank you, Jessica.